Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We've been going through Exodus, and I thought we would be there tonight, but we're not going to. Philippians chapter 3. This life is very tough. This life is tough. There are more heartaches than we have happy times. If you really stop and think about that. There is more stress than we have relief. You know, we're going to go on vacation, Lord willing, in a week. And I'm hoping for relief. No stress. And to think about, you know, we take one little stop and then this life is so crazy. There's so much stress. There's more burden and worry than there is rest. Much more. This life is tough. Very tough. It's easy to get lost in it. It's easy to get lost when we come in here on Wednesday night. We're coming in from the world and we're driving 90 miles an hour, thinking 90 miles an hour. And we have to stop. We have to stop all that. It's easy to become overwhelmed by it. Very easy. Emotionally, mentally, and also spiritually. Overwhelmed. I feel lost all the time. One of those three ways, or all of those three ways. Lost. Lord, help me. Help me. Do you ever find yourself saying you get to a point where you want to pray, but you just can't? You wish you could enter into reading, but you just can't. And you find yourself saying, please just help me. Just help me. Please, just help me. I can't do anything right. I can't. I sit in there and I try to study and I pray the Lord will overrule me, but I can't study right. I can't pray right. I can't preach right. I can't love right. I can't serve right. Just help me, Lord. Please, just help me. This is a big undertaking. We have a big responsibility. Help us. Lord, help us. Well, if we belong to Him, He will not leave us where we are. He will not. He will help us. He will find us. If we're lost, He'll find us. And He'll speak to us through His Word if we belong to Him. And I'm telling you the truth. So many times, this verse of Scripture right here in Philippians 3 has pulled me back. Emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And here it is. It's Philippians 3, verse 10. It says, that I may know Him. That's it. That I may know Him. That's the answer. That I may know Him. I can't do anything right. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I don't know. I really don't. I'm actually learning that a little bit more every day. I don't know. I don't always know what's right. I don't always know what's wrong. That I may know Him. I know He's right. He knows what's right. As I go through this life, what is the one thing that I need? That I may know Him. That's it. That's all I need. Now, all the trials that come, all these burdens that come, why do they come? Why do they come? That I may know Him. That I may see Him. That I may hear Him. That I may know with true conviction what is the one thing that I desire in this life. As these hard times come, and as we start to learn, that wasn't what it cracked up to be. That didn't satisfy me. As all these things come, that I may know what is the one thing that I deeply desire in this life. Verse 10 says, Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The more I know Him, the more I know of His death, the more I know of my fellowship with His sufferings, the more I hear about that, the more I know of my life in the power of His resurrection, the more peace I'm going to have in this life. It's going to bring more peace and more peace. We come here and we come here and we come here and I say the same prayer and I preach the same outline, and it's one more chance to grow in grace and one more chance to grow in grace, and it's one more time to hear about Him. And the more I hear and the more I see, the more peace I'm going to have in this life. That I may know Him. Now turn with me over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, look at verse 4. It says, one thing is in italics. One have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Why? Why do I desire Him? Why do I seek Him? It goes on to say, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's all my heart's desire. There's only one way. There's only one hope of that. There's only one life, that I may know Him. That's it. Now turn with me over to John 17. John 17, Verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know how to live right." I can't. "This is life eternal, that they might know correct doctrine." That's not it. "This is life eternal, that they might know the 5 points of Calvinism." That's not it. "This is life eternal, that they might know deep theology and the meaning of these words that end in ism." That's not it. I don't need any of that. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Oh, that I may know Him. That's my one concern in this life, that I may know Him. If my daughters wind up knowing Him, I don't have to be concerned about them anymore. They know Him. By God's grace, I'm determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. Turn back over to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things loss." Everything in this life compared to Christ is loss. Every single thing. "Well, I've gotten a lot of stuff over the last few years." Well, what have you gained? Loss. I'm going to lose it all. I'm not taking it with me. It's all loss. "Well, I'm real busy right now. We got a lot going on right now. I just don't have time for Him right now." Well, then I'm going to get to the end of this life, and then I'm going to realize everything that I thought was important has actually turned out to be loss. My loss. Our Lord said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That I may know Him." That's it. Verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, I've lost it all. I've lost it all. Lost everything. I've lost all of my religious pride. Every bit of it. My religious arrogance. Coming to a knowledge of Him, knowing Him, has broken me. It's broken me. I've lost my self-righteousness. The glory of my own works, my own good deeds. The knowledge of Him has caused me to see that they're all filthy rags. Every one of them. They're all filthy rags. Every one of them. I've lost my way in this world. You know, I started out and grew up in Nashville trying to make my way. I lost it. My way is not the way. I've lost my will. I don't have a free will. I don't have a will at all. I really don't. Not my will, thine be done. What do you want? By God's grace, whatever He wants. I don't even have a will. I lost it. I lost my friends. I grew up, I had good friends. I lost my associates who hate the true God of this Bible. I lost them. But listen to this. With this excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, I lost something else. I lost my sin. I lost the burden of my sin. I lost the bondage of the law. I lost the curse of death. When Adam sinned, God said it's all cursed. But God, who's rich in mercy, quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved, and now I'm no longer under the curse. I lost it. Verse 8 says, I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, that I may know Him, and be found in Him, that I may win Christ. Now, what is it to know Him? What does that mean? Everybody says they know who Jesus is. I've never met a person that does not know who Jesus is. Never in my life. So what does it mean to know Him? Here's what we need to realize. There are a lot of Jesuses in the world. There's a lot of them. One of them is the Jesus who wants to save you, but He can't. Poor thing. I feel sorry for him. One of them is the Jesus who actually saved everybody. Everybody saved. God loves you. You're good. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of other Jesuses out there. Then there's the Jesus Christ of Scripture. What is it to know Him? Verse 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. To know Him is to know what it means, what it really means that He rose from the grave. Turn with me over to John 10. John 10, look at verse 17. Our Lord says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now go to John chapter 2. Verse 18 says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. He's talking about His own body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now go to John 6. John 6, verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This Lord Jesus Christ is the Almighty God." He's the Almighty God. All power has been given unto Him. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He arose from His own grave, and He went back to His glorious kingdom. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He said, "Father, it's finished. It is finished. Oh, that I may know Him." I want to know Him badly. What is it to know Him? Go back to our text in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." I don't want to just know that the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt of sin. I don't want to just know that. I want to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, He died paying the debt of my sin. That's what I want to know. I want to know that when He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before His shearer, He opened not His mouth. I want to know that He did all that for me. Me. I want to know at that exact moment in time He was thinking about me. Thinking about me. Not that He just died for sin. Not just the whole idea of sin. Man did wrong. God fixed it. I want to know that those sins that I have committed, those sins that just I hate, the things I cannot forget, I want to know that He was thinking about those things when He was standing there and He opened on His mouth. I want to know Him, and I want Him to know me. The fellowship of His sufferings. The text says in verse 10, "I want to be made conformable unto His death." I want to be joined together with Him. Inseparable. Joined together. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's my only hope. I plead His death. I plead that He took my sin. I plead His burial, that He suffered the punishment of my sin. And I plead His resurrection, that He paid my debt in full. He took it, He suffered it, and He paid it in full. And now it's gone. Gone. I want to know Him. Now turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him." Isn't that wonderful? "That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth," or after that, "and forevermore, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves." And I believe that includes me. "Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't want to know of Him. I don't want to know about Him. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. I want to hear Him tell me I am His own. Flesh and blood. I'm His own. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." All these hard times and these trials and these burdens, light afflictions. They're just light afflictions. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Our text over in Philippians 3, verse 10 says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." If we died in Him, if we did, and if we suffered in Him, if we suffered God's wrath against our sin in Him, and if we rose in Him, then we will attain the resurrection of the dead. Turn over a couple of pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, look at verse 14. "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, that we may know Him. It's only going to happen in Him. Only by Him, only through Him. That's our prayer, that we may know Him. All right, let's stand together.